Right now it is time once again for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you find Main Street Magazine for free pickup at various locations, many locations throughout our tri-state region. They also have a combination website, which is called mainstreetmag.com, mainstreetmag.com. And we're joined by Thorin Christendotter. Thorin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Are you enjoying all this cloudy, thunderstorm, rainy weather?
Oh, aren't you happy it's raining again? I mean, it was getting a little dry.
It's just amazing. It really is. This is a, like our meteorologist, Pat Pagano, said, if you think you're tired of thunderstorms, just imagine us as meteorologists. We have to predict them. And
right.
and there's so many thunderstorms, so many places, you just can't predict them all. So, well, anyway, we're getting through it. To me, it beats 10 degrees below and a foot of snow. So,
well, that is true.
I'll take that anytime. Well, let's talk about a way you can get away some of these thunderstorms. Your story in this month's magazine, which is basically on food, the summer cocktail season.
Yeah, John dove into that. He asked a couple of our local experts, folks at the White Hart and I think the Black Rabbit and a couple other places in around the area and asked for some, recipes, some suggestions. And so he gives a quite an array, and there's sure to be something for everyone to quench their thirst.
You know, what's interesting about the cocktails, we have an underwriter, Berkshire Mountain Distillers in Sheffield, and they are doing amazing things with what they distill. They've turned their beer now. They've got a thing called the Berkshire Brewing Company Craft Brewery Whiskey Project, where they take the beer and they take breweries of beer, and they make cocktails out of it. The second batch included Samuel Adams, Jack's Abbey, and their own Berkshire Brewing Company. Cocktails and the making of cocktails are really pretty big around here, and. Isn't it the Black Rabbit, I think, that every year, right around Super Bowl, has a Bloody Mary contest, I think, as well. Every year they have a Bloody Mary contest. I don't think they had it last year because nothing was held last year. But I think they'll bring it back this year. But everybody's got a favorite cocktail. Everybody's got a favorite cocktail. Even non-drinkers. When I was a kid, I forget what they used to call it. It was cherry juice and cherry in a Coke, and I forget what we used to call it. But when my father would order cocktails, he would order us one of those. So, and my father also let us have some of the mint julep liqueur at times.
Oh,
it's a good thing he's not around now because he'd probably be arrested.
Right.
30 years later, he'd be arrested. Well, we'll go from cocktail to something I've never really tried, even though I guess eating lettuce might be like it, but edible flowers. And I know so many people that love edible flowers.
Yeah, Lisa had suggested this article to me a long time ago, and I was like, oh, it's the same as you. It's like, oh, okay, interesting. Tell me more. So she shares with us a couple of different things that are edible that are, not just pretty, but, especially in the summer, some restaurants around here do a great job at decorating their dishes, and oftentimes it includes flowers. And, hey, you can eat them, So there are not everyone, of course, disclaimer. But there are certainly, a handful of ones that are edible and delicious. And so Lisa shares, some throughout the seasons that, during the spring, summer, and fall, going into winter, she gives a list of a couple of different ones that you can look out for.
What's funny about that is the older I get, the more adventurous I try just about anything. And my adventure in eating actually started with Chinese food when I was real young. I hated just eating, chicken chow mein. And so I started venturing out, and then from Chinese food, my interest now in Mexican food is just amazing. I mean, and of course my grandmother, Hungarian and Jewish food. But for some reason, I just won't even consider tasting an edible flower. And I don't know what it is. It can't taste as bad as haggis.
That is true.
It can't. So, I mean, I don't know what prevents me from even just taking a little, a little bite of it, but hasn't happened yet. Maybe when I turn 70, that'll happen.
Always a chance.
Always a chance. We'll get away from food for a moment and go to a great story that you have on the Movie House, its newest reincarnation, and it's open, and people are going back to the movies once again. And I think by them stepping forward and taking over for Carol Sadlon and keeping a tradition going and putting some money into it is just so big, not only for Millerton, but for the whole area.
I mean, this is the only movie theater in, what, a 20-plus mile radius? So, you know, and they have three screen, or three and a half, if you call the front room as well. So, you know, Carol and Robert had done a fantastic job with that and creating a center for our community. And I, when I say community, I mean a larger community. And so in this story, Griffin kind of dives into that and gives, you know, homage to all the work that Carol and Robert did through the years and takes the story into how David and Chelsea have purchased it and what their backgrounds are and their vision and what they've been doing in which will people will see that the changes they've made inside, you know, not just painting, but they put in the elevator that Carol and Robert have been fundraising and trying to do for so many years. And then they, David and Chelsea have completely changed a lot of the upstairs area and made a, you know, cool lounge area that just opened, I think, last weekend. So there's a lot of exciting stuff that folks can see when they go to the movies now.
Well, I think what's great, what they're doing, not only did they complete the elevator and brighten and freshen things up, but exactly what you just said, they're making it a destination for more than just movies. You can actually go out, and the great thing about Millerton, and I'm going to bring in somebody else that's not even related to the Movie House, but you've got 52 Main down right next to it. You can have just go there for a bite to eat, then you go to the movies. You can go there for cocktails. You can go there and then go to your movie. And then when you come out, Millerton does have a lot of other things to offer, I think. And I like the re-energy they have put back into Millerton. I think if you've noticed since the pandemic is over and since they've been open, there's just more traffic in Millerton. There's more cars. There's more people visiting.
That you're right about. It's a constant joke in our office, you know, because our office is right next to 52 Main, same building. So we do notice it because it used to be, you know, kind of pre-pandemic that the scene, we call it up street where we are, used to be like the evening scene with the movie house and the restaurants right there. But you know, since COVID, you know, last summer parking lots, you know, our parking's full and people are just wandering around and hanging out, which is great.
We'll go back to food now. We're speaking with Christian Thornhunter of Main Street Magazine, where farm meets table, seed and spoon.
What do you think of this and what they're doing up there?
I think it's pretty interesting. And this is a story by Mary O'Neill. And once again, you look at this and it's basically as she put in the article, food from the ground up.
It really is. So Husky Meadow Farm is in Norfolk. Yeah. And what they've done is obviously they're a farm, but they're inviting folks to come for the whole experience. And as you said, from the ground up. So it's kind of a different concept and something, you know, wonderful to kind of bring people back to the earth.
Well, it's, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, we talk about farm to table restaurants. We talk about now this, where you can actually go to where it's grown and have it. And that leads to the next story, which is the plethora now of farmers markets, which I really think were brought on by once again, the Millerton farmers market leading the way, and then Cornwall and all the other towns. And this is a great way for local farms, local businesses that deal with food that are anywhere within a 35 to 40 mile radius to get their products out to the public without having to go and fight for space in a big supermarket.
Exactly. So in most of the larger communities have their own farmers market, and we did not have space to include everyone, but we kind of hit some of the major ones and kind of to represent our distribution area. So, you know, we have the Millerton NECC Farmers Market with a Copic Hillsdale, Germantown, on the first page here. And then we go to, Rhinebeck, and as well as the Cornwall Co-op. But all of them have a little bit of different offerings from their local farmers in that area, you know, but I just think it's wonderful that it's giving not just the farmers and some other businesses a resource to connect with people, but it gives folks in the area, a place to go to, one place to meet all these locals who are, cultivating the earth and creating something and have wonderful foods.
And what's great about the farmers markets is the farmers markets are created by local people in the community that reach out to these farms and create this event in their community. And we have a feature that back in the beginning, we started this I think it was about 7 years ago, where we offered a special, very low underwriting price for farmers markets. And I think we started off with three or four. Well, now this year, we have about 15 farmers markets throughout our listening area that
Wow.
have joined in. And we just give announcements Wednesday through Sunday on the different farmers markets. But it just shows how the farmers market, and like small towns like Cornwall have two. They have their original farmers market and then another one. It's just very interesting. A lot of people, not only weekenders, but locals, go to these farmers markets. And even in Millerton, you have the Dig, which features, they're not a farmers market that's out there, but they feature local products.
They do, and they're kind of, you can call them a little bit of a co-op with what they have there, but they have some great offerings and a lot of local stuff. And in addition, their crepes on the weekends. So I just think it's so much fun what, these types of events, pull together for the community.
And the food is local, it's fresh, it's great, it's been grown in our area. And believe you me, a tomato that's grown in our area is a lot different than a tomato that's grown in Oklahoma, okay?
Oh,
It's
you got that right.
different soil, different weather, different where they produce. Well, these are just a few of the stories, once again, in this month's edition of Main Street Magazine, available on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and for pickup at lots of locations in our tri-state region. Thorne, have a great week. I hope the sun comes out, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds terrific.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thorin Christendotter of Main Street Magazine here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, mainstreetmag.com on the web.